RadioArchives.com presents Plague of the Golden Death, the 35th adventure of Secret Agent X, by G.T. Fleming Roberts, writing as Brant House, read by Milton Bagby. His true face unknown, his identity buried in a secret government file, Secret Agent X came back from the dead to take on the evil extortionist and sinister sadist who prey on innocent Americans. A master of disguise who carries a non-lethal gas gun, X the Unknown is backed by a cabal of wealthy citizens and is answerable only to the shadowy K-9. Operating out of the supposedly haunted Montgomery Mansion, Secret Agent X ventures forth in a bewildering array of false identities to infiltrate the darkest underbelly of the underworld and destroy it from within. The only clue to his true identity is his haunting whistle. And now, Secret Agent X's thrilling adventure, Plague of the Golden Death. Chapter 1. Suicide Battalion. The noise sounded like four doors slamming shut simultaneously. The men in the trench, pressed close to the parapet, their eyes wide open, staring at the sandbags an inch from their noses. A sibilance that had begun in the air above them turned almost at once into a piercing whistle, which was immediately a thunderous whine as the shells tore overhead and landed behind the lines. A brief pause. Then, the sound as of four doors slamming again, faintly. Hearing nothing further, but sensing a direct hit, the men in the trench instinctively moved closer together, seeking futile protection from each other's touch. They stood rigid, their jaws clamped, until it seemed the knobs on them would burst. The four detonations were as one. Sections of the trench caved in, spilling dirt and sand on struggling figures. The crumbled earth still smoked. Flying metal whanged and bit at the wire at the front of the trench. Men slid down on the firing step and became motionless bundles of clothing. Cries for stretcher bearers were muffled, feeble. After a while, machine gun bullets began to clip along the parapets. Then this dwindled, and there was silence.
"Criminy!" breathed a private. "Criminy!"
He still clung rigidly to the wall of the trench.
"In Minnesota, life was different," muttered another private.
A lieutenant was running down the trench, head bent forward, shoulders hunched.
"Come on, you," he yelled. "Get those bags back in place. You want to live forever? Corporal, get your men to throw."
"I got you, lieutenant," the corporal said quickly.
He pushed away from the protecting wall of the trench and addressed himself to the seven men of his squad.
"You lugs start filling 'em, on the hop."
The men worked feverishly, pouring dirt and sand back into the disgorged bags and tossing them cautiously into the lip of the trench to make the parapet whole again. Stretcher bearers had appeared and were moving slowly through the chaotic trench, inspecting the immobile bundles of clothing. Here and there they picked up one of the bundles and carted it away, but most of them they left for later attention.
"There ain't a thing can live out there for 2 seconds. The first private said. "How in hell do they expect us to make an attack and have anybody alive to get to the objective?" "Shut up and put more dirt in them bags," the corporal said.
"He's right," the second private said. "They can't send us out there. In the first place, nobody would get across the river."
The corporal swore. "There's a bridge out there, ain't there?"
The first private stood up and frowned.
"Look," he said carefully. "Use your head, buddy. On the other side of that river is a valley, a deep valley. And up on the hill on the other side of that valley is our objective. It's a regular fortress. The Boche is safe underground. It's covered with wire, got a million machine gun nests. All he has to do is sit there and watch us come through that valley. When we get in the middle, he trains his guns on us and blasts us out of the valley. We got about as much chance of..."
"I know that. But what's that got to do with him leaving the bridge up?"
"Don't you see?" the second private cut in. "Once we get into that valley, he shells that bridge and blows it up. We're caught like rats. We can't get back. Not more'n 10 men could swim back without getting sniped."
He looked at the first private, who was still standing up, leaning against the parapet wall.
"Hey, get down here. It ain't safe to..."
He gave the standing man a jerk, and the first private slid down to the firing step and sprawled there, a grin on his face.